Hello, and welcome to I Watch This As an Adult, the podcast where I review movies from my childhood from an adult perspective. And this week I'll be reviewing 1997's Turbo, a Power Rangers movie. Alright guys, welcome to the show. This week I'm going to be reviewing Turbo, a Power Rangers movie, but before we get to that, man, have we had a superhero week this week, man, and it's only been 2 days. I'm not even going to say a week, it's been 2 days. We've been talking about two things for 2 days, and I'm not going to be any different. I'm going to talk about those two same things. First of all, let's talk about that Zack Snyder Justice League. They finally released the Snyder Cut, you might say. It's what they did. It's what they did, really. They released the Snyder Cut of Justice League. And I'm going to go right off top and say it's tremendously better. It's 4 hours. I don't know why it had to be 4 hours, but... But the good thing about that 4 hours is that you didn't feel it. I think I watched it. Me and my wife watched it. My wife and I watched it. I think we started watching it at 7. And we got done at around 11. I want to say, yeah, we got done at like 11 o'clock. And we watched something else, I think. I think we probably watched like an episode. I think we watched like an episode of Young Rock or something. You know, because... That Zack Snyder Justice League is dark. It's fucking dark. You don't want to go to sleep with that. But yeah, man, this movie was tremendously better than the 2017 one. I remember I went to go see the 2017 one in the theaters, and it was just ugh. I want to say that's the same year Wonder Woman came out. I want to say Wonder Woman came out that summer. And then they released Justice League in November. And Justice League just didn't cut it for me. I've never been so impatient to get out of a movie than I was with Justice League in 2017. I remember I fell asleep on a couple of movies because they're fucking boring. You know, you know, like I fell asleep on like Elektra, I remember back in the day, and I fell asleep on Clash of the Titans, that new Clash of the Titans. I fell asleep on that shit. I fell asleep on that. I think I fell asleep in Cowboys and Aliens too when I went to go see that back in the day. But like, I've never been so anxious to get the fuck up and get out. Oh, Wrinkle in Time. Wrinkle in Time is another movie I was just like, dude, I've never been so fucking anxious just to get up and get the fuck out of a movie because it's so bad, you know? But Justice League fit that. Like, Justice League fit that. That criteria of me wanting to just get up and walk out, but I'm like, I paid for this movie, so I'm gonna watch it. So, that's how I felt. That's how I felt. But this one is so much fucking better. It's so much better. They did so many things right. First of all, the beginning is totally different. I didn't go back and watch the 2017 Justice League because why should I? You know, so, but I know a lot of people did. I'm like, I want to see the similarities. I want to see the differences, but I don't really give a shit. I really don't give a shit. I'm never going back to watch the 2017 Justice League ever again. What was I talking about? Like I said, the beginning of the movie is completely different. Where, like, I think the beginning of the 2017, they started off with that monstrosity of a Superman, that rubber face Superman. I call him rubber face Superman. Looks like Henry Cavill's wearing a fucking Henry Cavill mask over his face. Yeah, like, they started off with that, with, like, the kids talking to him. What's it like being Superman? And all this bullshit. And they started off with that in Josh Whedon version. But in the Zack Snyder version, we're starting off with the ending of Batman versus Superman. It's like, it's actually makes Batman versus Superman make more fucking sense, come to think about it. You know, maybe I should go back and watch Batman versus Superman again, and then watch the stuff. That's what I want to do one day. I'm not this week. I'm too fucking busy this week. But when I got some free time, I am going to watch. I'm going to watch Man of Steel, and then I'm going to watch Batman versus Superman, and then I'm going to watch the Snyder Cut of Justice League, because they all connect now. They all fucking connect now. If you watch Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman, and you watch Snyder Cut of Justice League, they all fucking connect now. Shit, man. It made me feel fucking terrible about not liking Batman versus Superman. They really made me feel terrible about that shit. Now, I think I gotta go back and watch Batman versus Superman again. I gotta go back and watch that shit again. Because if you watch Batman versus Superman and you watch the Snyder Cut of Justice League, the shit makes sense now. It makes so much fucking sense, because there's even stuff in the Snyder Cut of Justice League that you go back and watch Batman. You might go back and watch Batman versus Superman. You'd be like, oh, so that's what they were trying to do. Okay. So it really made that shit make fucking sense now. It really made it make sense. There were a lot of things in the Snyder Cut that were cut out from the Josh Whedon cut. All of Cyborg. Oh my god, Cyborg is the most important character in this whole goddamn movie. He and Flash got undercutted so fucking much in the 2017 Justice League. In the Josh Whedon Justice League, they got undercut it so much. Like, Flash was just there for jokes, and Cyborg wasn't doing anything. He was just there. You know, they cut him out so much. His story is so important. He and the Flash are so important to this story. Because, like, they do things, because they're pretty much the ones that save the fucking universe. They save the universe from Darkseid, is what they do. They save the universe from Darkseid. They pretty much stop Steppenwolf. I mean, they don't kill Steppenwolf, but they stop Steppenwolf's plan from coming to fruition. Superman and I think Wonder Woman and Aquaman kill the shit out of Steppenwolf at the end. Oh my god, do they ever fuck Steppenwolf up? Oh my god. Steppenwolf. Speaking of Steppenwolf, Steppenwolf is a better character in this. Everybody's so much fucking better in the Snyder Cut. Steppenwolf is so much fucking better in the Snyder Cut. Because he has motivation in the Snyder Cut. Like, he has a purpose. He's not just gathering up these boxes for no fucking reason. He's trying to get back in the good graces of Darkseid, because Darkseid exiled him. He fucked up and Darkseid exiled him, and he was like, if you don't find these goddamn mother boxes and get me all these goddamn planets, you can't come back to Apocalypse. You know, that's a great motivation. You trying to get back in the good graces of your, because like Darkseid and Steppenwolf are like family, you know, like you're trying to get back in the good graces of your family, you know, like anybody can relate to that. You're like, you fucked up, you did something wrong, and your family exiled you, and you want to get back in the good graces of your family, so you do what you need to do that. And that's a great fucking motivation for Steppenwolf. You know, it's incredible motivation for Steppenwolf. I liked it. It made him have more fucking purpose. There are two characters that do kind of get undercut. Wonder Woman's more of a badass. before I get to that, Wonder Woman's more of a goddamn badass in this movie. She's kicking fucking ass. Makes up for Wonder Woman 84. Everybody's talking shit about her in that. She fucking murks somebody. She murks a couple of people. Like, she kills a couple of people in this goddamn movie. And it ain't shit to her. You know what I mean? She kills a couple of people. In that, like, what, I think it's, like, the bank scene, where, like, those guys come in, the terrorists come in, and, like, they kidnap the children and shit. She killed, like, a couple of those dudes, you know, and she didn't have any remorse for it. She didn't give a fuck, you know, so she did not give a shit. Yeah, man, they made her more badass. Like, Wonder Woman steps up. Superman steps up, you know, like they fixed Superman in this. They really did. They fixed Superman in this movie. He's a lot more badass. He comes back in the black costume, like the Death of Superman costume. He comes back in that. But yeah, man, he's so much better in this movie. Like, his face doesn't look like rubber anymore. He actually looks like a person. And not a CGI character. So much better. But like I said, they do undercut like two people in this movie. They undercut Aquaman. Aquaman is not the standout in this movie like he was in the 2017 one. I feel like they kind of like focused on him a little bit more in the 2017 Justice League. In the Josh Whedon version. He's not in this one a lot. Another thing this movie did, this movie really showed you how useless Batman is in a fight. When it comes to fighting superpowered beings and aliens and shit, they really kind of make Batman look like a bitch in the Snyder Cut. Ben Affleck's an excellent Batman. I've always said that. Excellent Batman, excellent Bruce Wayne. But they really do kind of make him look like a bitch in this movie. If they make him look useless and shit, especially in the final fight scene where they gotta fight Steppenwolf and they gotta fight the parademons and shit. He is fucking useless. I mean, like, he uses the Batmobile and he lures the parademons away from Darkseid, from Steppenwolf and shit. He does that, but when it comes to him fighting Steppenwolf, he ain't even getting involved in that. I think he's the only person that does not get like a square one with Steppenwolf. He don't get them hands, because I think if he got them hands, it would kill him. You know, like Superman getting him some of Steppenwolf, Aquaman getting him some of Steppenwolf, Wonder Woman gets some of Steppenwolf. I think even the Flash got a little bit of Steppenwolf. Even Cyborg did. He got him a little bit of Steppenwolf. When it came to fighting Steppenwolf, Batman was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna stay out of this shit." You know, he stayed the fuck out of that. He was like, "I am not getting killed. I ain't got no fucking superpowers. You know, I ain't got no superpowers. I ain't no goddamn robot. You know, like, I ain't got none of that shit. You're like, I'ma stay the fuck out of this. I'll lead the parademons away and I'll do all that shit. I'll make sure you guys got clear. I'll do cover fire. Cover fire. I'll do cover fire. Cover fire is my main thing." It was like, A number one on cover fire. But when it comes to fighting Steppenwolf, hell no. But yeah, that was Batman throughout this whole goddamn movie. That was him throughout this whole movie. But yeah, man. Other than that, man. The family's gone. That fucking stupid family from the first movie is gone, thank goodness. They actually have Flash do something. Like I said, Flash pretty much saves the goddamn universe. He stops Darkseid from coming through the fucking portal with the mother boxes and shit. He stops that shit. Him and Cyborg do that. Like, they're a lot more useful in this movie than they were in the 2017 version. A lot more useful. We get Martian Manhunter in here for some reason. It's actually played by, what's his name, Harry Lennox. If you don't know who Harry Lennox is, he was the general in Man of Steel. He was also in Mo Money. Yeah, like, he played Stacey Dash's uppity boyfriend in Mo Money. For people who don't know that, he was also in the Five Heartbeats back in the day. He was I forgot the dude. He was the light skinned dude with the voice, boo doo boo doo, with the deep voice. People don't know who Harry Lennox is. But he's playing Martian Manhunter now. He just shows up randomly out of nowhere. And it kind of took me out of the movie. There's two things that took me out of this movie. It was him showing up at the beginning. I think he was disguised as Martha Kent, showing up to talk to Lois Lane. That didn't make any sense. And what else happened? He shows up at the end of Bruce Wayne, because Bruce Wayne had this dream, which also took, that was the other thing that took me out of the goddamn movie, because it was like, we did everything, everything's done, you're the fucking Justice League now, Steppenwolf's done, Steppenwolf's dead, you stopped the mother boxes, you stopped Darkseid from coming through the goddamn portal, and all this shit, everything's done, we can go home. And like, and then at the end it's like, what the fuck is this, you know? Because at first they show the what was like the end credit for the 2017 Justice League, they show Lex Luthor talking to Deathstroke, but instead of starting the Injustice Gang, it's Lex Luthor giving Deathstroke information about Bruce Wayne, telling him that Bruce Wayne's Batman and all this shit. I don't know where that's gonna lead, but probably nowhere now, because they're doing a different Batman movie with Robert Pattinson, so that's probably not gonna lead anywhere. I wish we would've got that movie. Man, do I wish we would've got that movie. Oh boy, what could've been? But also, the other thing that took me out of this was Bruce Wayne's vision. It's kind of like a apocalyptic universe, apocalyptic Earth. It was like Batman, it was the Flash, it was Cyborg, it was Mira, played by Amber Heard, and it was Deathstroke and the Joker, played by Jared Leto. They were talking about Superman going crazy again, I guess, or some shit. It was like some Injustice shit. If you ever played the game Injustice, it was kind of like that. That kind of took me out of the movie. I was like, oh, dude, you were doing so well. You were doing so fucking well. And then we found out it was a dream. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Fuck it. You know? So, and then I said Martian Manhunter came to see Bruce Wayne at the end. And that was pretty much it. That was the fucking movie. Like, I enjoyed it thoroughly. A lot more. Movie gets like a 5 out of 5 for me, you know. Like, I'm not a 5 out of 5. I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 5. Like I said, Martian Manhunter took me out of it. That scene with him and the Injustice dream kind of took me out a little bit. But other than that, I enjoyed it. I liked it. Now let's talk about the other thing I need to talk about: Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I think Falcon and the Winter Soldier kind of suffered a little bit for me, because the Snyder Cut of Justice League was so good, and I did not expect it to be so good. And the Falcon, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I'm gonna admit, is something that I have to watch again in order to grasp what's going on. I didn't have the time to watch it this weekend because I was doing things. So so that's something I'm probably gonna have to go back and watch again. From what I see, man, it's okay. It's okay. The first episode was all right. There's a great action scene at the beginning with the Falcon and Batroc the Leaper, where like Batroc the Leaper has kidnapped this like military guy. I don't know why. I wasn't really paying attention, I'm gonna be honest. But like the whole scene was just fucking phenomenal. I liked it, with like Falcons just flying around and shit, and fighting these dudes that are like on like parachutes and shit. Like they're like, what are those, like gliders? They're like, they got like those glide, you know, those like parachute suits, like they have like wings on them and gliders on them and shit. He was fighting guys on those, and awesome scene. But then like the rest of it was just like, the rest of it, that was like the only kind of, that was like the only action scene in the whole episode. It was like, rest of it was just like exposition. Rest of it was exposition with telling you what's going on. Bucky's seeing a therapist. Bucky's talking to this guy, talking to this old man whose son he killed. And he doesn't know how to tell the old guy that he killed his son. You know, I can't wait for that reveal. That has me on the edge of my seat. I can't wait for him to reveal that, yeah, I killed your son when I was under Hydra control. You know, so I don't know how you gonna take this, but yeah, it wasn't me. It was Hydra. They had control of my brain, and I killed your son in the process. But, you know, bygones be bygones, maybe, you know. But yeah, like you got that going on with Bucky. He's got to come to terms with all the things he's done as the Winter Soldier. I like that they're doing that. Then you got Falcon dealing with his sister, and I think their parents' business. Like their parents left Falcon's sister like a boating business. Like I think they do like shrimp, they do like seafood or something like that, and they go out and they boat. And they pick up shrimp and crabs and shit out of there. But she can't maintain it. So the Falcon, Sam goes and tries to get a loan. And he can't get it because the blip happened. And I love, this is like my favorite part throughout the whole show. Any action scene or anything like that. My favorite part of the show was when the Falcon... was when Sam Wilson was trying to get a loan and he couldn't get it because of the blip, because of the snap, because of the Thanos snap. It's like, hey man, y'all wasn't around for 5 years, you know, and you ain't make no money, so we can't give you this loan, you know. And it was like, it was so crazy because like the guy that was about to give him the loan, he's like, dude, who are you? I know you. And he's like, you look familiar to me. And he's like, you're the Falcon. You're like, you're an Avenger. I know you. Yeah, he was like that. He was like so excited about it. He was like, oh man, he took a picture with him. Oh man, I can't believe I just took a picture with an Avenger. That's awesome. And then he was like, yeah, how you guys get paid? You know? which is a valid question. He's like, how do the Avengers get paid? How do the Avengers get money? It's not like they have secret identities and jobs and shit, you know? Doesn't seem like it. Doesn't seem like any of the Avengers have fucking jobs, you know? So, I guess, like, Iron Man's a billionaire. The Hulk is a scientist. It's like whatever they do for the government is what they do. They don't have regular jobs, but, you know? So like I guess that's a valid question to ask. It's like, hey, does being an Avenger pay? You know, like, do you guys get a check for being an Avenger? I mean, what do you guys do for money? You know, but that was a valid fucking question that didn't really get answered. By the way, I guess he said we live off the goodwill or some shit, whatever the fuck. But yeah, man. From what I see so far, I'm liking this. I like the ending when Sam's looking at the TV and they reveal the new Captain America, which is a character named John Walker. He later becomes the U.S. agent in the comics, in the comic books. But yeah, man, I like that they revealed that, and they didn't call Sam. I love where this is going. I love the racial overtones or the racial undertones that are happening, that are starting to ripple, that are starting to happen. Where it's just like, hey, we want a new Captain America, but we don't want your black ass to be Captain America. that's pretty much what it fucking turned into. It was like, we don't black Captain America. What the fuck? Get the fuck out of here. But, yeah, man, I can't wait to see where the show goes. I just can't wait to see where the show goes, especially with that ending. You know, I can't wait for the racial undertones to come out. I can't wait for Bucky to tell that man that he killed his son. You know, like, a little, there's a couple of things in here, like, they're catching my eye. It's interesting. Like I said, gotta watch the first episode again, though. That's pretty much it. I'll be back with my review of Turbo, a Power Rangers movie, right after this. Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad for Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And be sure to add our podcast in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. Turbo, a Power Rangers movie. You know, I like to start it off. I like to talk about how I saw it as a kid. I saw this movie in the theaters, actually, when I was 11 years old. Yes, I went to the movies. My mom took me to the movies to go see Turbo, a Power Rangers movie. I was 11 years old. And all I can remember, I remember this day very vividly. All I can remember is my poor mother standing in line with me and my sister. My sister had to be about like 4 or 5 years old at the time. So remember that. My poor mother standing in line with me and my sister in the scorching hot sun. This is like the end of March. So it's like the beginning of spring, I want to say. It's around, like, it's the beginning of spring, like, because I think this movie came out, like, the end of March, or the beginning of, like, April. It was around that time. I think the movie had been out for a little bit, and then my mom took me to go see it, and it just had to be, like, April or something, and, like, it was hot as fuck. It was a hot, hot day. We stood in line for Turbo, a Power Rangers movie, in the hot sun. I'm sorry for that. I want to apologize to my mother. I am so sorry for making you stand outside in the hot sun for Turbo, a Power Rangers movie. You know, it's hot as shit, and you had a fucking toddler with you. You know, I'm sorry. You know, like, cause I say, like, my sister, I have a younger sister. She was like maybe like 4 or 5 years old at the time. You know, she shouldn't have been on that heat, but I wanted to see Turbo, a Power Rangers movie, so whatever. But like, I'm sorry about that. Speaking of Power Rangers, this was kind of the last gasp for the Power Rangers in pop culture. You know, the TV show was waning in popularity like 3 years before this movie came out. Like, when the first movie came out, like, the popularity of the show was kind of dying down. You know, because, like, the first movie debuted at number 3 in the box office. And it got beat. This is the thing. It got beat by two movies that were already out. You know, it got beat by Apollo 13 and Batman Forever. You know, cause like, and those movies were out for weeks before the first Power Rangers movie came out. It was like the first Power Rangers movie was the only debut that week, and it debuted at number 3. You know, so. So, like, that's why I'm surprised they got this movie made. I'm really surprised that they got this movie made. Because even as a kid, I could see that Power Rangers was a fad. You know, I could see it was a fad. Because if you look at it now, it's like, the only people who are fans of the Power Rangers are people who never stop watching, people who stopped watching in order to have a social life. And then they came back once they were comfortable in their social life and started watching again. And the kids who watch the current product, who watch the current show that's on TV, those are all the Power Ranger fans. How I got, because like I'm still a fan of Power Rangers, but like how I got back into Power Rangers, because like I left. I left after like Power Rangers in Space, really. But after Power Rangers in Space, I was like, I'm getting too old for this shit. I gotta stop watching this, you know? So I gotta stop watching this shit, because I'm trying to get my dick wet. So, you know, so I'm trying to get my dick wet, and Power Rangers is not a turn on. So, so I stopped watching for a while. What brought me back was I was watching like the Japanese show in college. Actually, I was watching like what's called Super Sentai. That's the source material from where Power Rangers came from. So, with the internet, I found the Japanese version of Power Rangers called Super Sentai, and I was just watching the hell out of that. I was watching all the older series that came out way before, because Super Sentai has been around since like 1975. That shit's like, what, 45 years old? I want to say, like, yeah, like, it's 45 years old. Super Sentai has been around for a long time, so I was watching all those, series, and then I was watching all the ones that got turned into Power Rangers, and it kind of got me back into the American show. And so, like, I was watching Power Rangers SPD in college. You know, that's the show that actually got me back into Power Rangers, was Power Rangers SPD. And I was just watching that, like, I was watching that on the low in college, you know. I would watch Power Rangers SPD every morning before I go to class. Like, every morning Power Rangers SPD would come on, I gotta watch Power Rangers SPD before I go to class. I was like, nope, I'm not moving until Power Rangers SPD is over. You know, it's a good series, by the way. You should check it out if you want to. If you don't, it's okay. But, you know, I'm not forcing anybody to watch it. But, like I said, like, that's who's watching the show. Like, you're not gonna get any new fans, like, under the age of 10. You know, because, like, we're just gonna have to come to terms that this was a show that once a lot of people reached a certain age, they just grew out of, you know? You just grew out of it. You were done with it. You know, like, you left it in the closet with the rest of your toys. That's it. With the rest of the stuff that you liked as a kid. You know, you just left it there. Like, is there a lot of, like, cool Power Ranger things that people are missing out on because of the kiddie stigma of Power Rangers? Yes. Yes. The Boom Studios comic book is phenomenal. Shattered Grid was phenomenal. You know, like, there's a couple of seasons of the TV show that are great. Like I said, Power Rangers SPD, Power Rangers in Space, Power Rangers RPM. You know, like, there's a lot of Power Rangers Dino Charge. You know, like, there's a lot of seasons of Power Rangers. Power Rangers Time Force is great. You know, like, there's a lot of seasons of Power Rangers that are really good. And a lot of people are missing out on it, but, you know, that's on them, you know, you know, you're like, that's on them, you know, and it's okay for you to still like the show. Is it okay for you to still like the show? Yes. Yes, it is. Just don't be disappointed when you run into somebody that doesn't Power Ranger fan, you know, like we just got to come to, it's like something we just got to come to terms with. It's something that Power Ranger fans have to come to terms with, that this is a niche market, you know. It's a niche market, and it's only for Power Ranger fans. If you're not a Power Ranger fan, you will never be a Power Ranger fan, you know. And if you're a Power Ranger fan, you're just gonna be a Power Ranger fan for life. That's the way it's gonna be. Let's get into this goddamn movie. Shit. This movie was directed by David Winning and Shuki Levy. Shuki Levy is also one of the executive producers on Power Rangers. The movie was also written by Levy and Shell Danielson. I didn't bother to look up, but look, be honest. It has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 15%, which is fair. The budget for this movie was $8 million. It only brought in $9.6 million at the box office, so it like barely made its money back. The plot of the movie is the Power Rangers have to rescue a powerful wizard named Larigo from an evil space pirate named Divatox, who wants to use Larigo to awaken Malagor, a demon who she wants to marry for power and control of the universe. Oh, that shit sounds badass, huh? Doesn't that sound badass? It sounds badass as shit. Too bad it doesn't turn out that way. Cause I'm just gonna get to the fucking point. Like, this movie's bad. It's terrible. It's low budget as fuck. You know, like it's low budget as shit. I mean, it just looks like a big long hour. It looks like a hour long episode of the TV show. That's what it looks like. It looks like an hour long episode of the fucking TV show. Let's get to like an elephant in the room that everybody like. It's a big plot point of the movie. A kid becomes the Blue Ranger. Everybody, like a 12-year-old boy named Justin Stewart, played by Blake Foster, becomes the Blue Ranger. Speaking of Blake Foster, I remember seeing Blake Foster because I remember seeing him on Power Rangers Turbo when I was a kid. But after that, he didn't get like any more acting roles. After that, and I've always wondered, like, what is, because like the dudes like my age now are even if older, I think it's probably like 36 maybe, I think now, because I'm 35, he's probably 36 or 37 years old now, and I've always wondered what the dude looks like as an adult. And I think I saw him on a show on MTV. I don't know if it was like on MTV or VH1 or something. I don't know if it was like he was on like fucking Tool Academy. Remember that show Tool Academy? Anybody remember that show Tool Academy on VH1? Where like they were taking like these dudes that were like fucking assholes. Like their girlfriends thought they were assholes. They're like, we're taking you to Tool Academy because you're a dick or something like that. And he was like on one of those like shows and like he was like being a fucking douche. And I didn't, like, at first I didn't know it was him because he looks kind of different. Because, like, I think this is, like, the first time I seen him. This is, like, the first time I seen him since Power Rangers. And, like, he's way bigger. This dude's, like, because, like, the Blake Foster's, like, at least, I want to say at least, like, 6'5". And he's fucking jacked to the gills. Like, he's fucking buff as shit. You know, and he looks totally different from the kid he was in Power Rangers Turbo. And like he has like short hair. He has like short hair and he has like a fucking goatee now. And like they like maybe like a full on beard. And it looked like him kind of because he still has the same teeth. I think that was like because like he still has the same eyes and he still has the same teeth. That was the only, I think that was the only thing that kind of set me off. I'm like, hey, man. Because I was like, hey, man, he looks familiar. This guy that's being a douchebag on his reality show. And then I think he revealed it. He was like, yeah, man, my name's Blake Foster. I used to be a Power Ranger or something like that when I was like 12. And he was just he was like, I was the Blue Ranger on Power Rangers. And I knew martial arts. And he was doing like martial arts and shit. And I was just like, yo, man, that's the dude. That's Justin. Holy, that's Justin from the Power Rangers. And like, that was like the first time I saw him as an adult. And this was like 2009 or 2008. I want to say like 2008 or 2009. When he was on his show. And he was a fucking douche. He was a fucking asshole on this show. And it kind of turned me off on him. I was like, I don't think I would ever want to meet him. You know, like he looks like he's a fucking asshole. You know, so, but I don't know if he is. I don't know if that was just for show, but you know how reality shows are. But it's
He was a fucking douchebag on that show. But anyway, in this movie, he's the Blue Ranger because the Blue Ranger before him, Rocky DeSantos, breaks his neck doing something really fucking stupid that didn't make any goddamn sense. Because the dude, it was like he, Tommy, and Adam were like practicing for this martial arts tournament. And like they're doing like all the karate and shit in the ring and shit. And I think Rocky's like off his game. He can't kick or some shit like that. He's trying to spinning heel kick. And he can't get the spinning heel kick right. And he tries to do a spinning heel kick. Might I add, he's in the middle of the goddamn ring. I'm sorry, this shit just makes me laugh. He's in the middle of the goddamn ring. And he does a spinning heel kick and somehow falls out of the ring. He's nowhere near the side of the ring. He's in the middle of the ring. He falls out of the ring and breaks his neck. He lands on the back of his neck and breaks his neck. I think he broke his neck. And they have to rush him to the fucking hospital. He has to go to the goddamn hospital. They're gonna rush him to the hospital. Even the neck brace on him, he can't move and shit. And he's like, oh, my neck. My neck. And they have to rush him to the goddamn hospital. And so he's no longer a Power Ranger anymore. And so he gives his powers to this kid named Justin. Who becomes the Blue Ranger at this point. Another thing we also get the return of Kimberly and Jason, who were the original red and pink Rangers. They get captured by Divatox, who wants to sacrifice them to Malagor. And the Power Rangers have to go and race and save them. They have to save them and Larigo now. And I think like Larigo has this family. Let me talk about Larigo. Shit. Let me talk about Larigo. Larigo looks like a fucking hippie Olsen twin. Or just the Olsen twins. He looks like a fucking Olsen twin with like hippie clothes on. And like he has like this fucking beard and shit. He's like a little midget puppet. Wrong words to say. Sorry. He's like a little person puppet. And his face, he looks like an Olsen twin in the face, and he has a beard, and he's wearing, like, these fucking hippie clothes. that's what the fuck he is. It looks disturbing. It looks very, very disturbing. If you've never seen Larigo, I'll probably put up a picture of him on Instagram. If you don't follow me on Instagram, I watched this as an adult. Go follow me on Instagram. I'll put a picture of Larigo up. This shit just makes me laugh. All this shit is stupid. It's so fucking dumb. I'll put a picture of Larigo up on my goddamn Instagram so you can see what the fuck Larigo looks like if you've never seen Larigo. But I was talking about Jason and Kimberly. They gotta go save them. Also, Jason just got finished being the Gold Ranger on Power Rangers Zeo. So, we're really not missing him that much. He was, like, gone for, what, 5 months, maybe? He wasn't a Power Ranger for 5 months. Because Power Rangers Zeo, he comes back as the Gold Ranger. He's the sixth Ranger on Power Rangers Zeo. Which, the Gold Ranger's fucking badass. He was badass as the Gold Ranger. I got to say that. The Gold Ranger is the highlight of Power Rangers Zeo. By the way, if you go back and watch Power Rangers Zeo. Also, the Rangers, like, they get new powers and new Zords for, like, no fucking reason. They get them for no reason whatsoever. We get a half of a scene of Cat morphing into, like, the pink Zeo Ranger. We get that, and then, like, she falls into the water. Supposedly... The Zeo powers were destroyed by water. This is some shit that I heard. You know, I had the rumor mill in the Power Ranger fandom. you know, that the Zeo powers were destroyed by water. And even like Johnny Mbosh, who will play Adam Park, the Green Ranger, he also said, I think he said this like a couple years back, that they shot a scene where the Zeo powers get destroyed in like an underwater battle, and like the scene got cut. I heard like a lot of scenes got cut in this movie. You know, like I heard there was a lot of things that would make this movie make sense that just got cut out. Because I heard like they were supposed to have a battle underwater in the Zeo powers, and the Zeo powers get destroyed. They said they shot that shit. I think they shot David Yost's Billy. Like, he was supposed to come back. Billy was supposed to come back, and he's supposed to be the reason that they got the Zeo power, not the Zeo power, the Turbo powers, because like he created them, like on like Aquatar or some shit, I think, and which is like another planet in the Power Rangers universe. They got another planet called Aquatar, where like they got like alien like fish rangers. Don't try to make sense of that. But don't try to make sense of that. But like, yeah, there's alien fish rangers on another planet. And Billy went to that planet because he fell in love with one of the fish ladies, one of the fish rangers ladies. And so like he lives there now. That's where Billy is in Power Rangers lore. He's on the planet Aquatar having sex with a fish lady. So you know. But true story. I'm not making this shit up. This is what's going on Power Rangers. Like, Billy, the original Blue Ranger, is on a fucking planet, a water planet, having sex with a fish lady. He married a fish lady. And he's not coming back. but anyway, yeah, man, they said that a lot of shit got cut out of this movie that'll make this shit make sense. Maybe somewhere there's a Snyder cut of Turbo or Power Rangers movie. Like, it's funny that I talked about the Snyder cut earlier, and there might be a Snyder cut version of Turbo the Power Rangers movie. I don't know if anybody wants to see that. Maybe people want to see that. There's supposedly another episode of Power Rangers Zeo that got cut up called Scorpion Rain. That was supposed to lead from Zeo to Turbo or some shit like that. I don't know, man. A lot of this shit confuses me. But anyway, some of the things that irk me in this movie, that's not a fight. That's not a real fucking fight until like 45 minutes into this movie. Where, like, the Power Rangers actually fight something, you know, like do karate on something, you know. It's like, they do karate on, like, these four, like, Ninja Turtle things. You know, like they got, like, they're, like, these little, like, turtle things. And, like, they fight them. Like, it's an okay fight. It's the only fight in the goddamn movie. Like, it's the only, like, unmorphed fight in the whole goddamn movie. It's the only fight you see for at least another hour and a half, because the Power Rangers don't morph until like a half hour into the movie and start fighting, you know. And start, like, they go after Divatox and try to save Largo and Jason and Kimberly, and like that's the only fucking fight scene they got as the Power Rangers, you know, is towards the end. That's it. This movie really suffers from being slow and plotting. You know, like, they linger on things that don't fucking matter. You know, like, getting on the boat. Like, they gotta get on this boat and shit. And they talk about the boat. And I think Kat and Justin try to have, like, this heartwarming moment on the boat. And nobody, I don't give a shit about that. You know? They linger on a lot of shit that really doesn't fucking matter. Bulk and Skull get on my fucking nerves in this goddamn movie. I was like, I'm just gonna say it, and I was saying it while I was watching this movie. I don't like Bulk and Skull. I've never been a fan of Bulk and Skull. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I guess that I know that's supposed to be like, oh wow, they're the Laurel and Hardy. They're the Abbott and Costello of the 90s. But I'm like, if you're a fucking 8-year-old kid in 1993, you don't know what the fuck Abbott and Costello is. You know? I didn't learn about Abbott and Costello until I got older. You know? Like, what the fuck? An eight-year-old's gonna be like, who the fuck is Abbott and Costello? You know? My grandparents. My grandparents like Abbott and Costello. You know? What the fuck? But yeah, man, I've never been a Balkan Skull fan. I don't get the appeal. The comedy's not funny. I rarely laugh at them. Most of the time it's just dumb shit. And it just drags the show down, really. It just makes the show sillier than it needs to be. You know, like, I really think Balkan Skull makes Power Rangers sillier than it needs to be. They really do. I kind of blame them for that, you know, for the stigma that Power Rangers has of just being this silly, stupid-ass show. Yeah, they get on my fucking nerves. I don't like them. The only thing I do like in this movie is the Zord fight. They do a great Zord fight. It's better than the one in the first movie. They don't use CGI, thank God, you know. It's just a dude in a goddamn robot suit and another dude in a goddamn monster suit. They fight Malagor at the end, you know, like, it's just another dude in a goddamn monster suit, the way it's intended to be, and just these two dudes in fucking rubber suits, just fighting each other, like it's intended to be. It's the only part I like. I like the Zord fight. Zord fight's cool. Oh, and we also get a cameo, by Rita Repulsa and Lord Zedd, for whatever that's worth. I don't, blink and you miss it. Another thing that this movie did, this movie really accomplished making the Power Rangers background characters, because they don't really focus on the Power Rangers in this movie. They're barely in it. They're background characters in their own movie. They are non-factors in their own goddamn movie. God damn it. They did it. But, yeah, man. Overall, I don't know, maybe there's another cut of this movie that was better, like Johnny Bosch said. He said, like, I hear it from Johnny Bosch. I hear it from, I think, some other Power Ranger actors that were on set. You know, like, the other Power Ranger actors said, like, yeah, we shot some shit, and, like, it was totally cool, and they didn't use any of it. You know, so, I think I've heard Jason David Frank say that. They're like, we shot some cool shit, and they never used it. You know, so, Jason David Frank is, he played Tommy. He said that shit too. At a panel or something like that. He was like, yeah, man, Turbo, we shot a lot of cool shit, man. We shot some dope ass fucking fight scenes and shit. And they didn't use any of them. He was like, we shot some cool action scenes and they didn't use any of them. You know, like, and this is the movie that you got. You know, maybe, like I said, maybe the other cut of the movie is better if they ever decide to release it. Like, I think the 25th anniversary is next year. Maybe they should do that next year. They should put like a Snyder cut version of Turbo the Power Rangers movie together. And we'll judge for ourselves. I don't know. But for now, the version I get, it gets a 1 out of 5, you know, on the rewatchability factor. That's pretty much it for Turbo, a Power Rangers movie. Join me next week when I'll be talking about 2000's Road Trip. Peace.